Sometimes everybody hurts sometimes. So hold on, hold on.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. You are listening to the Coors version of R.E.M.'s classic song, Everybody Hurts. That was done for an Unplugged on MTV, I believe, in 1999. It's available on YouTube. You can also find it at BruceAllen.com in the My Columns section. Just click the top column, which is Everybody Hurts. And that YouTube video is linked right at the beginning and would put you not only in the mood to read the column, but maybe the mood to reach out and touch someone. Maybe in the mood to do something that you've been wanting to do. Maybe it'll put you in the mood to repair a relationship. I wrote a column for 12most.com, which is a website that I write regularly for, and it was a column about surviving the holidays. And one of the things I suggested in that column was to reach out to a family member that you might be estranged from. Repair that relationship. Some relationships aren't reparable. We know that. But most relationships that go south, you look back over time and you almost sometimes can't even remember why you no longer are talking to that person, let alone, God forbid when it happens, you're not talking to your mom or dad or your son or daughter or other relatives or friends. I'm estranged from a very dear friend of mine, and maybe I should take my own advice. As I'm talking this, I'm thinking of my friend Marty, who I was close with for so many years, and we grew apart, and maybe I should take my own advice. The topic today on the Bruce Allen Show, and you could probably hear it in my voice, I am much more subdued than normal. The topic was and is Everybody Hurts. It's about empathy. It's about reaching out to people. It was inspired when I heard the R.E.M. song while on a walk around a nearby lake, and the words just really touched me. It was at the time when there had been some very tragic deaths in our community, several of them, or two of them, by suicide, and others that were accidental because of drug or drinking overdoses. And we're not in that large a community, so three deaths within the course of about a week was a stunning sort of thing. And there are three separate incidents. It's not like three people died in a car crash. It's three different individuals that were, whose lives were ended in two cases, as I said, by their own hands, and in one case by a preventable accident. So it made me realize how important it is to recognize that other people may have needs that you don't know. There's a rabbi I have listened to and respect greatly. His name is Joseph Telushkin. He's a very prolific author, and if you ever have a chance to pick up any of his books, they're from very serious to very light. He wrote an incredible book about just Jewish humor that is extremely funny. I actually attended services that he used to lead for many years, and they were the most stirring and involving spiritual services I'd ever been to. At the same time, I would be laughing myself silly. So the contrast of a deep meaning and deep laughter is, to me, the best you could possibly hope to ever capture. And Rabbi Telushkin was great at. And one of the things he often quotes is from his mother. And when she talks about happy people, he says, his mother used to say, the only happy people I know are people I don't know very well. And think about it. A lot of people put on a happy face. They go out in public and they act a certain way, and they think for whatever reason that they shouldn't reveal their dark side. Dennis Prager, someone else I respect very much, he talks about how couples will often go out, and two couples will go out, and couple A are getting ready to go out and they're getting dressed, and the husband and wife get in some kind of odd argument and they're not happy with each other, or they're mad, or they're upset over an ongoing problem, who knows, and couple B might have the similar scenario in their home. And then the two couples meet up at a restaurant because they're going out together, and everybody puts on happy and sunny faces, and the husband is treating the wife really well, and the other wife is just being glorious to her husband and offering to share food and toasts and all that. And then when both couples go home, they turn to each other and say, why can't you be as nice as he is? Why can't you be as nice as she is? And instead of actually revealing that, you know something, we're struggling right now. We'd love to get some feedback from you. People aren't willing to do that. And I don't think that's a good thing. And I think what Wayne said in the men's room, that men are very shut down on their emotions and their feelings, is very true. And it's just something we have to deal with. These suicides in our community really affected my older son. And he knew one of the boys very, very well, one of the two that had committed suicide. And he has been very angry. And one of the things that struck him was there was all sorts of heartache and hurt and quiet on the high school campus the day of the news and the day after. And 2 days later, there was a candlelight vigil. And then there was a weekend in between. And then the following Monday, he came home from school and he said to me, "Dad, life's just gotten back to normal. How can they all just go on?" And of course, he didn't mean that they shouldn't be going on. But the fact that just a few days later, the whole community, the majority of the community, were apparently over it. Now, of course, the families and the people that were really close to these young men that died are obviously not over it. But life goes on. And the thing that struck me so powerfully was whatever was going on in the minds and hearts of these young men that motivated them to commit suicide, whatever horror they thought they were experiencing, and I know what was going on in both cases, it was not horror. Nobody had some painful, debilitating disease. Nobody was about to go to jail for some horrible crime for the rest of their life. There was nothing. It was typical life ups and downs. One kid, I guess, had bad grades, and the other kid was battling some sort of inner demons. But life does go on. And the saying from the Bible, that this too shall pass, in 4 or 5 days in this community that was, in the beginning of this tragedy, so terribly affected, in 4 or 5 days later, my son says, I don't get it. Life just goes on. How can everybody just be cheerfully walking about? Well, that's the way life goes on. And what I thought about is those two young men that chose to end their lives. Their life is not going on. Not only are they gone and not having a chance to rebound from something so ultimately trivial, but they've left behind some amazing collateral damage. Siblings, parents, friends. It's just, so the whole point of today's show is, as the holiday season approaches, it brings up tons of emotions. If you're lucky and blessed, like I feel almost every day, I am so darn lucky. I get up every morning excited to go to my computer. I get up every Thursday, the highlight of my week, drive up to Santa Barbara, get to broadcast my own radio show. Thursday nights, I get to do Dad Chat. I get to interact with a community of great dads and moms. In between, I write, I tweet, I exercise, I go for walks around the lake. I'm married to a beautiful woman who actually likes to cook. And we have wonderful meals. We're going to have Thanksgiving with her in-laws. Okay, so I'm not so lucky. My in-laws, I should say. Okay. I mean, we all have our crosses to bear. I actually love my in-laws, but a whole week with them in our house, that may be a little bit of a challenge. But this weekend, I'm going away. I'm going away so I can have some downtime and clear my head so that I can be the best son-in-law I can be. That is my goal and my intention. Because my in-laws gave me my wife, and if nothing else, I have to be grateful that they produced a wonderful woman. And that wonderful woman is my wife, and I am very grateful. And I love you very much, Debbie. I know you never listen to my show, but if you happen to be hearing this, I do need to say that a little more often. And speaking of everybody hurts, I know my wife is going through some rough times right now. Her career is in a little bit of a flux, so I need to be there for her too. We need to be there for everybody and not just get caught up in our own needs and a lot of our own life minutiae. Those two young men that are gone, they're gone. They're gone forever. Who could have reached out and who could have maybe made a difference? That's what I'm asking you to do. That's what I'm asking you to think about this holiday season. As you're busy taking gifts back and worrying about this and worrying about that, who could use your help? We'll conclude today's show after these messages with a tease for next week, some final thoughts from me, and I welcome you back for the last segment of the Bruce Allen Show. Else, pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do when everything looked so dark? Got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative.